Your heart beats faster and faster.
Yes! Well, we're back, and it's funny how most people love the dead. Once you're dead, you're made for life. That's Jimi Hendrix, and this is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. That's right, folks, paranormal broadcasting, where even our spirit guides need a GPS. So, we'll be in the chat room all night long, and you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com. I am... sends my partner, Sean Burris, the Ghost Man, tonight, but I am joined by the lovely Becky Ray and Laura Moon. Hello, woo! Ladies. Woo-hoo! And this is, let me see, I'm slow on the take on this one here. This is the September 19th episode of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schooner and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Absurd Radio and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio and the Black Vault Radio Network. Woo! So, tonight's guest, and I said her name wrong last time, so I'm probably going to say it wrong tonight. But maybe not. Let me see here really fast, because this is normally Sean's part, and he normally says the name for me. Oh, I'm never going to get it right. Dina Planzanzini. Planzini. I think I got
it
right.
There you go.
There you go. It only took me 6.5 tries. Blah. Ugh. Boy, it's tough getting through all that without Sean. Anyway, folks, stick around all night because we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be talking to Carl Johnson and Dina and having all that kind of fun that you know we have on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, because we are beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? Come on, get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother. I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. Come on, get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal. And your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes. Okay, I'm done. You ladies can take it over. It's all good. I did my job.
And the end. No.
Cut. We're out.
This is exciting.
You know, it's funny when Sean and I actually were filming the Extreme Paranormal. They gave us this great big beautiful studio to record some Ghost Man and Demon Hunter shows in, which of course we don't get, because they're now the property of A&E and all those guys. But when we were out there, you know, here we are. We'd be right in the middle of one of our really funny bits and going on, and they'd be like, all right, cut. What? No. You can't cut. No. But
this is live, you douche.
We do this, you know, and so it's...
We know what we're doing.
Yeah. Like they hire three comedians to do a TV show, and they say, guys, we love what you're doing. Just don't be funny.
Don't be funny.
But that's TV for you. No, that's TV. And but, you know, that's why I love radio. And who do I love in radio more than the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show? Well, I love Becky Ray and Laura Moon.
Yay! And woo-hoo! I got second billing.
No.
Well, you're never second to me, Laura.
Aw,
thanks.
Yay. Becky owns the broadcast network that I go over, so I gotta, you know. So.
I keep Absurd Radio on the air.
Yes.
There you go.
She's the one I call on. She's the one I call on Sunday nights when I say, Becky, I can't get on the air.
Server's down again.
Oh, but you know, if it wasn't for you, Becky, there would be no G&D show. Well, don't let Sean hear me say that.
I thought you said D&D. Thanks. I was like, are we doing Dungeons and Dragons
tonight? We're playing
D&D
tonight?
I've got my Mountain Dew and my Funyuns and my
totally unprepared.
I'm a ninth level warlock. It's if I sit here, you know, that was the one thing I actually did play D&D. Obviously, I'm a geek, but when I was younger, and you know, I'd always have to find the smoking group of D&D kids, because you're going to be sitting around a table for the next 6 hours, you know, right, stroking your ego, and you know, you want to be smoking while you're doing this. It's tough if you can't, you know. That's why when Sean and I decided to do a show, we had to make sure we could smoke during the show, because every week I come on. This week I've got my punch cigar that I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut, and you know, smoke my stogie while we do our show.
Right on.
It's the fun way to do the show.
Warren, I just drink.
Yeah, well, we have that rule too. Yeah, that's a given. You guys have actually been on location with us when we've been at events, and you've seen how Sean and I drink.
We need to do that again.
We do. You know, I was just emailing back and forth with Troy Taylor recently.
Uh-huh.
And Troy was saying how he misses, you know, the groups that used to... We were always at all the events.
Yeah,
you know, it was
yeah.
like Ghostly Talk was the original. You know, they were the guys that were out there that started kind of going to the events. But you guys and Sean and I and a few others, mm-hmm. you know, we were at everything.
So we're going to do a reunion tour?
We got to do a reunion tour. You know, who do you think would actually show up just to see a tour of all the radio shows?
A lot of people.
You think they would?
I really do.
I mean, if we could just get, like, you know, you guys and Ghostly Talk and Sean and I and Darkness Dave and, you know, all these groups, you know, coming together, and we could do just an event where everybody could show up and just meet the radio guys.
Hey. I was thinking just not even have an event, just have us all just show up.
Well, you know, that used to be, oh, God, yeah. We'll just all show up and take over.
We're all just broadcasting live from nowhere. Come join us.
We're in the middle of the woods, and I was telling Becky before when we were setting up that the only way I can smoke in my studio is if I crack the window over on the other side, because, you know, I've got posters and stuff on the walls to help absorb some sound and some padding. But what's important is that window is open so I could smoke. Unfortunately, I've got crickets right outside my window. So we're broadcasting live from the haunted woods of Danbury. And
that's their opinion of your show?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's when you have that lull in the show. The crickets are there to just fill that space.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually, there's been many a night that Sean and I have been on the air, and the crickets were the only people in the chat room, too. So it's...
I think Laura and I have been there.
Yes. Many times.
It's all part of the fun, right? You know, it's 4 years of hard work, sweat, labor, money.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Laura and I do the video thing, too, with our chat room. So when there's no one in the chat room, that's when people should be in the chat room.
Yeah, and there can be people there that will not chat, that just watch the video, and we don't know they're there.
Like, oh, what are you doing?
They're stalkers.
Well, you know, that was one of the reasons I added the chat and listen, so that people could click on it, and I could actually, like, see people coming in. And
right.
I was like, you know what, I kind of got to give people the option to just listen if they want to. But I really just wanted to have everybody have to listen through the chat room so I'd know how many people were in
who's
there.
Actually listening.
That really makes sense.
Exactly. You know,
we don't even know, you know, we'll see the numbers, but we don't know who they are.
Well,
which is kind of a stalker creepy.
I don't get the numbers, you know, and when we first started and we were on Blog Talk, we'd go over and be like, wow, we had six people listening. Wow, we had six people listening to us, you know. And then when we went over to Omnisound Radio, I'd be calling up Jeff, going, Jeff, how many people do we actually have listened to a show? And he usually have between 50 and 100, you know. And I'm like, 50 and 100? How do we get 50 and 100 people listening
to
a show?
Do I have that many friends?
Are you sure you're not getting my Facebook numbers here? Then we'd go and, you know, now we get our Planet Paranormal reports each month. And it's like especially when the TV show is on, but even now, you know, it's like between 10 and 30,000 downloads a month. Like, how is this possible? Who's listening to this show?
That's what we've noticed with our show is we get a lot more hits on iTunes than we do live listeners.
Yeah.
So I think we should go in and edit the shows.
Well, you know, the only editing that the G&D show gets is my bleeping Sean. So...
I gave up on the bleeping. I just started marking them all explicit.
Yeah, I would slip up every once in a while.
I sit there with a little pen and a paper and be like, oh, what time is it? Oh, I got to remember to come back and bleep that later. It was really funny when we were filming because, you know, we'd be out there and they've got to bleep every time you curse. And when they got to the end of filming, they realized that Sean and Jason had been cursing through the show and I hadn't cursed. So they started, they found things that I'd say like, aw, frack, and they bleep me, you know?
Oh, jeez.
Maybe because they wanted to make it look like I was cursing, or maybe they just
didn't want me to feel left out.
Or maybe frack is a Battlestar Galactica trademarked word. I don't know.
You know, that's a good point. Perhaps it is.
But
indeed.
Taking my drink. But I wanted to hit some news while I had you lovely ladies on. Apparently, there are feathered friends, birds, on each side of the law now.
Really?
Yes. I think it's in South America. They're calling, or in, oh no, I guess it's Mexico. I'm not sure. They didn't give me the full report here. I'll have to yell at them for that. It's from News of the Weird, and they're calling him Lorenzo, the lookout, a parrot trained to sound warnings when he sees police coming. He's a bit slow this time through, though, as drug traffickers and Lorenzo have been approached. Now he's a prison bird. I was just looking at a report, and apparently these guys were using a bird to warn when cops were coming over.
That's fantastic.
The bird screwed up, so now the bird is in custody. On the other side, in UK, a robber has learned that dogs aren't the only thing to watch out for when committing B&E. Upon breaking into a pet shop, the robber was attacked by a diving sun conure. The sun conures are a beautiful parrot type of bird who apparently are quite territorial. See, everybody take your drinks.
Everybody drink.
Odds are quite good that the culprit will be caught as the bird collected DNA with his beak.
Oh my gosh.
And the intruder left a trail of blood on his way out.
Oh, nice.
You know,
his nose.
I had to bring up a animal type incident because our guest tonight is going to be one of the investigators on The Haunted, which is the Animal Planet show about animals relating to the paranormal. But I couldn't find any animal haunting stories in the news, but I just saw when I was looking up weird news about animals, this came up and I laughed my butt off. Because I've had parrots. And let me tell you, I once had a scarlet macaw take a hold of my beard and would not let go for anything.
Ouch.
And of course, he had my cheek underneath it. So, as you know, these guys can be a bit nippy.
Yeah, right here.
Well, at least nobody saw the scar.
Well, you know, there's a reason I have a beard. I don't want people calling me Bird Scar, you know, or Beak Face.
You gotta make up a better story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time I had this knife fight with a cockatiel.
Yeah.
And
with a cockatiel. Getting a whip fight like Indiana Jones.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. Ah! Ah! Did you guys get the report? Sean and I had read it on the news, or I read it on the news last week or 2 weeks ago when I was on my own, about the ghost investigators that one of them was knocked off of a train trestle.
Yes.
Big news. Trying to find the ghost train apparently didn't.
Not tell the difference between a real train and a ghost train.
I feel terrible about it. But at the same time, I'm left there wondering, was he, like, filming the tracks, going, it's coming, I see the light! And then all the, oh, crap, let everybody run.
I just thought it was one of those endless cycles. You know, person gets killed by train, becomes train ghost, ghost hunters go looking, more ghost hunters get killed, more ghosts. So more ghost hunters go to find more ghost hunters get hit by train.
And, you know, the sad thing is it's supposed to happen on the anniversary of the train wreck. So they were there on the anniversary of the train wreck, so now it's going to be the exact same day next year when people are up there doing it.
When more ghost hunters are on the train tracks, get hit by another train, and endless cycle.
It's a bad movie.
It really is. But the reason I thought about it was I was looking at the fact that there are kids in Colombia playing the train game now. The South American trains come through, and they wait on the tracks until they can see the train headlight, and then they jump down between the tracks and let the train pass over them.
Oh, my.
I kid you not. That's this insane. This is on MSN News. And they're actually standing there on the tracks, waiting until the train comes right, and then they hop down between the... I mean, what happens if you got a kid that's a little overweight? This is not a good thing. They need to put cow catchers back on the front of trains. They really do. Deter people from doing this.
Exactly.
There's
a reason it's against the law to be on train tracks. It's a reason they consider that trespassing. And that's to protect you from your own stupidity.
You know, I had forgotten that it's illegal to be on train tracks.
Yeah, it's against the law to be on train tracks. That's considered trespassing.
One of the, I grew up in Newton, New Jersey, and I talk with Mark from Weird New Jersey all the time about it. Newton is like the weirdest town in all of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Not just because I came from there, but just in general, it's a bizarre town. And one of the famous stories on the town is we used to have this. Newton used to be the county seat, and so they had trains that came in and out. Well, when the train stopped coming through, the kids would ride their bikes and their motorcycles up on the train tracks, and supposedly somebody wasn't thrilled with that. One of the neighbors wasn't thrilled with people driving through the train tracks on their bikes, making all the noise. So they ran a rope across the train tracks, and it decapitated someone. And they never found out who hung the rope up across there. And it's literally right down the road from where I grew up. So, of course, as kids, we all had to go up there and, like, look ghosts. And it's because, you know, can't do anything normal when you're from Newton, New Jersey. Like I said, great little town, just very, very weird. It's kind of like, well, now it's turned into suburbia. Even the farm I grew up on is all built up into like houses. But they just have this feeling about when you go into the center of Newton, it's like going back about 40 years. You expect to see like Andy Griffith driving down the car in the 1950s, whatever, police car, and on Founders Day, the cop gets to come out and blow his whistle, and yeah, just a weird little town. But there's all these weird little stories. You can't open a copy of Weird New Jersey without something from Newton, New Jersey being in there.
It's kind of cool, though, you know?
Yeah, it is. You know, every day I walked home from school, I passed by the mysterious cave grave where kids were buried alive in the grave, and they just put the tombstone up there on the wall of the mountain, and I had to walk past it every day on my way home from school because, you know, I had to walk home through a cemetery every day. Of course I did.
There was no other way to go.
How did you get involved with paranormal, Nathan? Well... Anyway, speaking of
it
graves,
it involved a parrot.
Yes.
Parrot paranormal.
It involved a parrot named Lorenzo. He's gotten his now. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of cemeteries and all that stuff, I personally am a I don't know what the technical words are. Now, there's so many different words for it now. When you're a Star Trek fan, if you're a Trekkie, a Trekker, I know there used to be a war between them, which was which.
Right.
And I personally, old-fashioned, still go with Trekkie. But it now seems AOL News announces that you can now go beyond with Star Trek into the final frontier.
Really?
Oh, yes. Star Trek fans worldwide and their millions of passionate Trekkers on their new now have a chance to boldly go into the afterlife by purchasing a new line of Star Trek cremation urns.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
For them, you heard my new employment was with a funeral home, right?
I did not. That's swell. You can tell them about these now. They're Star Trek cremation urns.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we're a full service crematory, funeral home, and cemetery.
That's swell.
Isn't that awesome?
You know, I had the chance to live over a funeral home once, and I went in and I walked through, and they said, well, you know, when you come in, you got to come through the front doors, and they're the same front doors that all the guests come in to see the body. So if you're coming in during a cemetery or during a service, you know, try and look nice. I'm like, well, at the time I worked construction. I'm like, how am I going to look nice? I'm going to come home from work. I'm going to be a mess. I'm going to have to scoot right upstairs. All right, you know, I'll live with it.
Right.
Then they took me down to the laundry room and they said, here's the laundry room. Of course, you know, it's actually in the room where we do the embalming.
Right.
I'm like, it's going to be bodies around. I guess it's okay. If there's no bodies on the table, I can use them to fold my underwear. You know, they're showing me around. In the end, I didn't take the apartment. Because I just couldn't take the smell of flowers. all the reasons I just didn't like the smell of flowers on the in the cemetery or in the funeral home. But no
lilies.
Yes, too many lilies. But this is a new Star Trek urn. It's an enamel. It's got an enamel image of the Star Trek logo on it. Let's see here. You can. It also has. The urns have separate terms on them. You can buy one of two. It can either say "to boldly go," or "the voyage continues." And
that's kind of neat. I like it.
I'm trying to find where I left off in the story because I turned away to talk to the microphone. See, I'm not used to reading the news. That's Sean's job. This is his fault, folks. That's why you're getting drunk listening to the show right now.
This is all
you should have had us do that.
Yeah, I should have sent you the news. This is what happens when you give a dyslexic the news. Not that your remains will end up in outer space like the ashes on late Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, but you know these are approved Star Trek urns. So if you're a true fan, if you are a true Star Trek fan and you want to carry that on to the next life, then you need to get a Star Trek urn. And just
I like it. You know, the KISS makes coffins. So you can get a KISS coffin that's officially licensed by KISS.
Well, you know,
so why not Star Trek urn?
Gene Simmons makes everything.
I know.
I remember when his TV show first came out, watching an episode where a paranormal group showed up and tried to get him to sponsor a paranormal television show.
Oh, Lord.
And, oh, jeez.
And, of course, he looked at it and went, okay, you go out, you know, we're KISS, we deal with all this stuff, you go out, you hunt ghosts, okay, how can I make money at this?
Where's the profit for me?
Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly.
The best thing that Gene Simmons made was those children of his. They are so awesome.
I actually don't watch the show anymore. So I don't know much about his kids, except I know his son wants to be a music producer or something. I wonder where he got that from.
And, I wonder where he learned that. Yeah. I haven't watched the show in ages. I just see the teasers all the time for it.
Well, you know, it's on A&E. Nothing good ever comes on A&E. I'm sorry, A&E. I didn't mean it. Stop, don't take my show away.
If you get that video, you would see me shaking my fist. Oh!
Well, you know, it was funny. A few weeks ago, I actually called into Ryan Buell's radio show.
Right.
And they have it on Skype, so you can Skype in and video chat and things like that. And I Skyped to him right off the bat. I Skyped to him and said, "This is Nathan Schoonover from Extreme Paranormal." And he picked up and said, "Oh, hey, Nathan, I understand you're from Extreme Paranormal." And I said, "Yeah, the TV show." And he went, "Oh, right, the TV show." And I felt bad for him because obviously he didn't realize who I was before I came on the air. And we had a really good talk. Weird. We had a really good talk. It was fun. It was fun. And he and I have like chatted over email before. But we've never actually talked, in this case, like almost face-to-face, because we were on Skype chat with video. But it was fun, you know. He's a nice enough guy. I didn't have any problems with him. Some people like him, some people don't. You know, I can honestly say the same thing about me and my show.
Well, you know, no one's going to like everybody all the time. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was kept telling myself while I was getting the death threats.
Jeez. Well, you can just come over to my place of employment, you know. We'll take care of you.
You know, I would have liked to have been a mortician. I think I would have made a very good mortician, you know.
I'm quite surprised how many people I know, friends of mine, that actually work in the funeral arts. And I didn't even realize
the funeral
that until I started
arts.
Talking to people, and I'm like,
I'm sorry.
The mortuary arts, that's what it's called.
It, it's
like,
called the funeral arts. Wow. That's,
I had no idea so many people I knew were in that.
So. The funeral
the
arts.
The art of death.
You know, that's really funny that the funeral business calls it art, and the paranormal people actually think that they do science.
There you go.
And if I were Sean, this is where I would ring a bell.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, well, I'm gonna be getting hate mail now. It's.
I guess some news for you about crypts. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's these things called crypt flies. They're like little gnats, and they live on decaying bodies or decaying matter or whatever. Well,
so
if you work there. If you work in a funeral home where they have crypts, these things fly around all the time.
Yeah. I used to be a grave digger.
Oh, so you know all about those.
Yes.
Yuck.
See, yet another person I can put on a list of people I know that worked in the funeral industry.
Oh, yeah. It was funny because, I grew up in a small town, and I actually was a grave digger for a pet cemetery. But there were several small cemeteries around that would hire us because we had the equipment to come out and dig the graves. So we would get hired out to go out and do these cemeteries. And, you know, it's funny because you bring a backhoe in and you everything's mechanical now. You dig these deep holes and then you have these spades. You straighten out the sides. And before you get started, you dig up the sod so that you can lay it back down. And it's very... It's all done a particular way. So when we got down to Louisiana and they told us we were going to bury Jason alive, I was like, no problem. We got out in the middle of the swamp. There was no way to get a backhoe out there. So you can imagine what we had to go through to dig a grave to bury Jason. To this day, I think I've scarred Jason for life with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another drink for you. Oh yes, my life of scarring people, you know.
Yes.
I'm really lucky I didn't have children. I'd be in jail. We're sorry, Mr. Schoonover. We know We know
they would be very balanced.
We saw your TV show. We have to take your children away. It's
and especially the horn sticking out of its head. You know.
Years ago, I remember one of my friends telling me that if I ever had children, they were pretty sure it would pop out and float across the room. You know. give its orders out to the minions of the earth. It's
pops out and the head spins and green vomit comes
out. Sign of the end times.
Remember having a woman tell me that I was absolutely evil for what I did, and she looked at me and said, "You know, you're just a devil." I said, "I am not. I just work for the man." And that didn't go over well with my girlfriend's mom. So it.
Who wrote this stuff?
I know. I'm firing my writers. It's
wasn't me.
Nice cigar. Oh, so how are things over at the Darkest Side of the Moon?
Good. Good.
Laura told me the other day that I have a really old commercial for you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually, no, it's the most current one we have. We just didn't realize that we hadn't done one in 2 years.
That's okay. Sean and I realized after you told us that we haven't done one in four. So
people that's quite a long time.
People are still playing the one that, you know, it's like, do, 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 do. You know Sean B. Yes, Nathan S. I.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I think we definitely need to have a do-over day.
I think that's part of our plan before the show this week is redo our promo.
What could Sean and I possibly say about the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show in 30 seconds that would prepare people for what we do here? Hey, by the way, folks, if you haven't sent in your clip yet for being the new opening voice for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, this is Demon Bob's last week, so. He's picking the winner this week, so be sure and send in your entry. Sexy girl voices or scary guy voices introducing the Ghost Band and Demon Hunter show. We'll pick the winner. We'll contact you. We'll record a promo. Send it to ghostanddemon@gmail.com.
I'm going to send in a scary female voice.
That might be interesting. We haven't gotten any of those yet. My ex-wife calls me from time to time, but that's not nice. She's a nice lady. But,
my God.
I'm just sure she's going to call me sometime and be like, you know, I think you owe me money. No, it's been 20 years.
Why you screen the calls?
Oh, so the silly season is coming, though, ladies.
Yes. Then the silly emails. The silly phone calls have already started.
It's it should be very interesting, you know. I've already gotten a few people contacting me, asking me to do radio shows and stuff like that. And you know, this is the one time of the year that terrestrial radio stations actually notice us.
Yeah, exactly. The news station, do you want to come on and be on our news show at 6 a.m? No, not really.
Or they want to write an article about you, and that's the one thing that you see all year long.
Well, I remember last year was hysterical because they wanted to write the article about me right at the time that Extreme Paranormal was going to come out. So they wrote this huge article about, you know, Nathan Schoonover, paranormal investigator, occultist, living in Danbury, new TV show coming on, blah, blah, blah. The day it came out in the paper was the day that Jason and Grant showed up in Danbury, Connecticut to do a lecture.
Oh, no.
And there was not a word in the paper that Jason and Grant were going to be there. So
oh, man.
That's kind of cool.
You know, I don't think Jason likes me to begin with. But,
Nate, he had something to do with this.
Actually, at this point, he probably doesn't even remember who I am. It's it was hysterical because, and now the papers contacted me. They want to do another story. I'm like, but I'm not doing a show. They're like, well, give us anything. It's Halloween, damn it. Oh man, alive! But that's my life. But I interrupted you, ladies, on how Darker Side of the Moon is going.
It's going good.
Same as it always. Same as it ever was.
Well, I think the best part about it is that, you know, we've kind of changed formats from, we started out with paranormal and then we went to horror and then now we're doing the weird news thing. But we do interviews every once in a while. The most recent interview we did was with Rich Fulcher. Thank you. I don't know why I get that last name mixed up with somebody else. Fulcher. From many, many shows, British shows, comedian type stuff. Becky can fill you in better than I.
Were you not there?
She's the one that set it up, and she's the one that introduced me to these guys, so I feel like she knows them.
Well, you know, our show, we kind of just metamorphosized because we got to where we realized that we would have these authors on, and authors write great books. Not necessarily great interviews. And so I was like, okay, bring on the comedians that write books. So that's what we did.
Well, yes.
And that actually worked really well. So
I honestly think Extreme Paranormal would have continued right off the bat if they let Sean, Jason, and I keep being funny.
I agree. I totally agree. The first time I watched it, I was like, what the hell?
And you can tell because in the second episode, you can see we finally just said, screw it. We started being funny anyway, but they still didn't. They cut out most everything we did. We said one of the best scenes they cut out was Sean and I driving around trying to find a location, and we got lost. And, you know, there's Sean driving. The camera guy's in the front seat with him. Sean's going to kill me for telling this story. He's absolutely going to kill me. But we're driving along, and we get lost, and the camera guy is holding the camera, filming Sean. Jason and I are in the back seat talking, and Sean has to turn around, and he turns into this like driveway to turn around, and it's a golf course, and what he didn't see were the giant boulders in the middle of the grass. Now, when you're filming, they put these lights right above your head while you're filming so they can see you while you're driving, and Sean couldn't see more than 4 or 5 feet out the window. And he drove over one of these boulders, and our SUV just kind of like sat there teetering over the boulder.
Oh my God.
And they They got it all on film, and we're like, you've got to use this. And they wouldn't use it. We were like, come on. Oh, Sean's going to kill me. But it was like one of the greatest experiences of my life because Sean is always making fun of the fact that I drive so slow. I'm like a grandma driving, you know. We got pulled over in Gettysburg. The cop said he thought I was either drunk or a retarded kid with a cupcake. It's
drunk with a cupcake.
Yes, I was a drunk kid with a cupcake.
That's awesome.
But you know, and here we are, like we're teetering over these rocks, and what happens? Like four guys are sitting around the golf course drinking beer in the middle of the night. Come over to help us. We couldn't get I just thought they should have gotten pictures of us trying to push the truck off the rock.
Oh, now see, that's good TV.
Now speaking of Gene Simmons, that would have been like Gene Simmons trying to do NCIS or something.
I think he could do it if they paid him enough.
In a suit?
Why not?
I've seen Gene in a suit, just never a tie. Oh, now I gotta calm down.
Gotta get serious.
Because we're gonna have our guest on soon. And actually, we're gonna have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our guest tonight. Carl Johnson will be joining us, and so will. I'm going to say this wrong again. Let me make sure I get this name right.
I think it's Dina Palazzini.
Palazzini.
I could be wrong, but that's what it looks like to me.
One of those we'll names that ends in a vowel.
Because I'm sure she will correct us.
That's right.
You know, it's very funny. I grew up in a very Pennsylvania Deutsch Germanic farmer, you know, Dutch farmer kind of area, and you know, you were always careful of those people with whose names ended with a vowel. It's oh yeah, I can just see the hate mail coming now. Sean, I'm sorry you weren't there. I ruined the whole show. It's we're off the air now. It's even Becky Ray had to kick us off.
But... Well, you better hurry because Dina says she's going to go to bed.
Oh no! All right. Well, we'll be right back with Dina and Carl and Becky Ray and Laura and lots more fun. Stick around.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late in the paranormal community as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Thank you. The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
Hi, this is Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Ghost Man and the Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
Bom, 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 bom. And that was Autopilot Club with Sweet Angel. And if you have a band that is looking to play, get their music played out there and have people hear it, send it in to Ghostman and Demon Hunter at ghostanddemon.com. I'm sorry, ghostanddemon@gmail.com. And, or if you know somebody, let them know, and we'll put it up there as long as we have your permission. We love playing the people's music, and, you know, with GarageBand being gone, it's tough to find it now. Aww. So send us your music, folks. Send us your music. We want to play your music. Send it to me, please.
I will send you some music. My brother has a band. It's called The Other Side of the Tracks.
Oh, my gosh.
Railroad Tracks.
Oh, my gosh. Is that Dina?
Yes.
Hello, love.
It's me. Welcome to the Demon Hunter and the Ghost Man Show.
It's the Ghost Man and Dina Hunter Show.
That's it.
You know, I saw some of the photos you posted on Facebook lately, Dina. I would hunt you. It's, you seem to be having...
It's going
to
be a funny show. We should just keep going with the flow like we were going on the chat. It was great. Just bring it on. That was great. It was awesome.
Now, what exactly were you hunting out on that boat? That's what I want to know.
I caught a big pickerel on that boat.
Pickerel scare me. They scare
me.
Oh,
my God, they have teeth.
They're like freshwater barracuda.
Uh-huh.
I thought she said piccolo. I was like, she caught a flute?
A pickerel.
That's what I would hunt, would be freshwater piccolos.
Not a piccolo, a pickerel.
That just sounds wrong. It kind of sounds like Coney Island whitefish, you know? It just...
The thing was huge. I had it on the line. I'm like, oh, shoot. I think I caught some wet weeds or something, and then this big thing come up with these teeth. I'm like,
You know, I just went deep sea fishing a few weeks ago, and I have never gone deep sea fishing and not caught anything. And I always win the bet. You know, everybody puts in money, and whoever catches the biggest fish wins. And I went out with some friends from my Masonic Lodge, and, you know, I cast out, and we're out maybe like 30, 40 minutes. And my line just tugs so hard. I can't really. It's pulling me off of the boat. This thing is so big. Whatever it is,
you gotta tie yourself on to the boat.
Apparently I caught the boat. So I caught the boat for the first time in my life. I did not catch a fish. I caught the boat, and the boat tried to pull me over into the ocean. And
I'm sorry.
No, it's funny. The Masons all laughed at me. They got a big kick out of it.
Oh, that's horrible. You poor thing. You didn't bring any food home for the family,
well,
did you?
No, and you know, what was really bothering me is everybody who knows me knows there's...
Maybe just a bow.
There are like three things in the world I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the water, for one. I love boats. I can't stand the water.
I am too. I hate the water.
But because there's pickerel in the water, you know, they're dangerous things. Swimming mm-hmm. around out there. But the main reason I'm afraid of the water, because I used to surf, even though I can't swim very well. I can't swim at all, really. But when you have a surfboard, you don't need to swim well. You just grab onto the surfboard.
No, just don't go into the waves.
Well it's tough to do that when you're surfing. But a few years back, I was fishing, and a shark bumped me.
Ew.
I have not been able to bring myself to get back in the water since. I don't get in hot tubs anymore. The water freaks me out. And,
you know what? Hot tubs are great, especially if you have, like, you know, a couple females in there, males or whatever it is. Your
I'm learning a whole new side of you there, Dina. It's,
But the ocean, the fish in there are bigger than me. I'm not going in.
Well, that was just it. When the boat tried to pull me in, all I was thinking was, shark, shark, shark. I'm going to pull up a shark and it's going to eat me.
Especially now in New England. I mean, the shark sightings and everything here. I'm like, you think I'm going to the beach? Narragansett can kiss my behind. I'm not going there.
Well, you know, it was funny when they were having all the great white sightings off of Cape Cod. Where did my girlfriend Chrissy P go? She went to Cape Cod. And she called me and goes, I want to go to the beach today. And I'm like, no, you're not going to the beach today. Why not? Because I'm not coming and picking you up and buying you another leg. I don't want to do it. I saw Jaws. I know what happens.
It's crazy out there. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the universe these days, but sharks? Come on, these things are huge. And all those seals and, I'm all set.
Although, you know, I am a sci-fi fan, you know, not just the channel, but like sci-fi in general. But I did notice that Sci-Fi Channel has Sharktopus coming on. No, I'm not kidding you.
I will watch that.
I'm not kidding you. And apparently Josh Gates is going to be making an appearance in Sharktopus.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I heard an interview with him a few weeks ago, and he was, you know, this is why I have no life. When I'm not doing a radio show, I'm listening to other radio shows.
Well, I do that too.
And he was talking about Sharktopus, and I was like, he's like, and you know, keep an eye out for Destination Truth on Sharktopus, and I'm like, yeah, he's joking. And next thing I see is a commercial come on today for Sharktopus, and for next Saturday, folks, next Saturday.
I'm gonna have to watch that.
Sharktopus. So
I just looked it up on IMDb, and right there in the message boards, one of the topics is, this is a joke, right?
Well, it was so funny because after he said it, I thought for sure it was a joke. And then I was in Walmart the other day because, yes, I shop at Walmart. I went in.
We all do.
And they have the five. They used to have. Remember, they had the $5 bin.
Right.
You could pick up the videos.
Yeah.
You dug for films. You know, it was like the kids digging in the sand to find a fossil. You know, you dug for movies, and at the bottom somewhere of all these movies, there was one movie you wanted, so you had to dig all the way. But
something your grandma watched like 150 years ago.
It's like you know, I'm a John Wayne fan, a huge John Wayne fan, but they have John Wayne movies in there I've never heard of. You know, and I didn't think John Wayne did anything that nobody had ever heard of, but they got rid of the $5 bin and they replaced it with like the $5 wall. Well, apparently, there are movies that are beneath even the $5 wall, and they brought the $5 bin back.
You're kidding me.
No. And as I'm digging through the $5 bin, I come across Shark versus Octopus. And I'm sitting there thinking, now I know where Sharktopus came from. Apparently, there was a mating involved. That we didn't know, that we didn't see in Shark versus Octopus. Yes.
Now we have a Sharktopus.
Tentacles with teeth.
Yes.
Oh my God, I could go on that forever, but I won't.
Well, you know, it's funny because these things come out and you sit there and honestly, stuff comes up and you say, you know, is this a joke? You know, we look at Sharktopus and obviously, you know, made up, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, 40 years ago, if somebody told me that I had to worry about going out whale watching and worry about coming into a giant squid, I would have said they were joking.
Well, that I could believe.
But
a shark octopus?
But now, come on, Dina. Come on. You guys...
No, I'm sorry.
You guys hunt for Bigfoot in Rhode Island.
I've seen a Bigfoot.
You've seen a Bigfoot in Rhode Island.
I have seen a Bigfoot, and it's not a joke, but that's a different story. But not a shark octopus.
But see, now you know why I don't go in the water, because there might be a sharktopus out there.
Are you afraid to go in the woods now?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm not afraid to go in the woods. I live in the woods, and
yeah, I love the woods.
If a bear is walking through the woods,
I just slap a tree and tell him to get away and go away.
Chrissy got mad at me the other day, last year, because a bear came through our yard, and I went running after it. It's like,
oh geez,
get out of my yard.
Were you hungry or did you want to go
no
get
it's
some
just
meat for the winter,
all of a sudden I was possessed with the spirit of an old man and I thought the bear was a child and I ran out, get off my lawn. you're gonna step in my petunias.
Were you wearing boxer shorts and big fuzzy slippers?
I didn't have big fuzzy slippers. I don't own big fuzzy slippers. So
now, who is that I just heard with a pretty voice?
Ladies, introduce yourselves so I don't introduce. I don't want to say one name before the other now because I'll get in trouble.
Laura, you can go first.
Oh, okay. Laura Moon.
Hi.
I'm Becky Ray. Hello.
Hi, Becky Ray.
You haven't met Laura Moon and Becky Ray from Darkest Side of the Moon Radio. And is Full Moon Radio still up and going?
No.
No.
But some nice gentleman purchased my domain and made it into something atrocious.
FullMoonRadio.com unless you...
Yeah, don't go there.
Just don't do it.
Don't go there. Not unless you have a good, you know, solid stomach. But...
if Jason Gowan can pull off an appearance on Chubarama.net, I mean, come on, it's
okay, guys.
Well, anyways, yes, I will have a new show coming soon. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay,
that's great, and I can't wait to see it, and hopefully I can post it and share it on my webpage.
Awesome.
Now,
that'd
Dina,
be awesome.
Tell me a little bit more about your group.
My group. I started my group a year ago after Carl left Mir.
Mm-hmm.
And, just circumstances over there, you know, he was like, all right, I'm done, and they're done, and whatever. And I left my group, and I said, I'm going to start my own group. And that's what I did.
You know, that's
and I
how,
have some
that's
really
how,
great team members.
That's how a lot of groups get started. And, you know, when I left my group, the group I was with, I just went and started the radio show. And, well, we can see all how that turned out. And
I love your radio show.
But your group is Beyond the Veil.
Beyond the Veil Paranormal Research.
Beyond the Veil Paranormal Research. And you didn't call it BVPR.
No, it's Beyond the Veil. Come on. Come on,
okay,
guys.
She
I don't want to make it too technical.
On her website, it says able to see, like the number 2 and the letter C. It's really cute.
Well, that's cool, though, you know, but you don't have a cool acronym. I thought all groups had to have an acronym.
You know, our group actually started before the acronym thing, and everyone keeps trying to put acronyms into our name. It's like, you know, if I'd known that's the way things were going to go, I might have come up with something a little more creative.
Instead of pie?
Well, that's, you know,
that's
just
what everybody calls it, and it's like, no!
That's like when all my friends were like, you know, well... You know, and just to throw the name out there, because it's a name everybody knows, they were like, oh, you know, Taps, T-A-P-S, you know, Taps. And I was like,
oh, Jeepers, crow.
But you know, the funny thing is they would throw that name out there and they'd be like, you know, like they play at a funeral. And I'm like, no, they're plumbers. Taps. Like the things you turn on to get water.
Oh, Paul, you got to listen to this on the headphones now. This is great. No, get the headphones on. This is awesome. Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah, I guess they are plumbers.
It's taps, you know? They turn the water on. It's
He's getting a delay now. He's getting it now.
But you guys have this group and you go out and you investigate, and you actually do investigate, and you do not just like famous places and homes, but you also...
No, we go to people's houses and we try to help folks that, have a haunting in their house, and they're crying and they're upset. Of course you want to go and help them. That's what we do. That's what paranormal is all about. And if you can't go and help these folks, then get out of the field. Get out of the field.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have no problem with paranormal enthusiasts who just want to go and... maybe investigate Gettysburg or something like that. But don't go to people's homes if you can't help.
Exactly. And that's what we're all about. People call us crying and upset. You go in and you try to see what's going on there. And they're very sincere. And it's heart-wrenching at times just be with these people just to see what they're going through, and it really hurts my soul. I mean, I've done interviews and started crying. I put my hand away. I couldn't do it. I'm like, these people are hurting. And of course we don't go in and get paid, and we don't do anything for money. We don't do it for fame, that's for sure. My God.
Yeah.
We're broke,
Trust me, it's like when people told me that I had done TV for the money. Anybody who has done paranormal TV can tell you there's no money in it. It's,
there is no money in it. You'll get a hotel room.
Yeah, it's
if you're lucky.
You're lucky. But the haunted and their crew, I'm going to tell you one thing, they do accommodate us. And but we're starving.
Yeah. Well, no, it's...
We bashed their party at the end of the night going, you got food?
I came home from filming $2,000 in debt, but the snack tables at the...
you were on TV, right?
Yeah, craft services were great. I got all the little cheese-filled crackers I wanted.
Yeah, how'd you like those donuts in the morning?
Oh, donuts were good. The one nice thing I gotta say is we were filming with Painless Productions, and Painless Productions took care of us fabulously. And we were sitting there in the middle of Louisiana on a hot summer night in the middle.
When you were there.
Yeah, in the middle of a cemetery. And they brought us this incredible dinner, and they laid it all out for us on top of like a grave. They laid the food out in a grave, only to realize,
oh, that's sick. I love it.
But the only problem with it was, if you've ever been in a cemetery in Louisiana in the middle of the night, cockroaches are everywhere.
Oh, that's gross, man. You roast them over an open fire?
We could have.
You could be Survivor Man.
You couldn't catch them. They flew away. It was...
They call palmetto bugs. Come on now.
They're roaches.
That's a pretty word for a freaking cockroach.
That's exactly right.
Those things, you could put a saddle on them and ride them.
They're really gross.
But
I know. I lived in Florida for 7 years, and they were everywhere.
I lived in South Carolina, Charleston, one of the most haunted places in America. And let me tell you, those bugs were horrible. I ride my horse out there, and I go to get, mount off my horse, and I stepped in a fire ant mound. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun. You're stripping your clothes off and running into alligator water just to get the fire ants off you, And I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, I want to go up north now. I'm done.
Apparently, when I passed out in Louisiana on the episode, and people ask all the time, why didn't the camera guys do anything? Well, when they're filming reality television, all they care about is getting it on camera.
Of course.
I passed out. That makes good TV. What Sean and Jason told me later was when they picked me up, I was just covered in fire ants.
Oh. Those things are freaking horrible.
And I remember that just it's probably like a cross of the fact that I was like half unconscious and they picked me up and all this stuff. But from in my memory, those ants were about the length of a cigarette. they were huge.
But it feels like you're getting burnt all over your body.
Yep. And they were
horrible,
apparently. They were apparently crawling all over my legs and.
Ugh. I'm getting that post-traumatic stress.
But you
thinking
know
about the them.
But you guys don't just go out and to famous locations and people's homes and stuff like that. But you also like go into the woods and you research.
Yeah, we do a lot of things in the woods. There's a lot of different places around here in Rhode Island that people just don't understand or know about. And there's a lot of haunted locations just going on a road. Going in the woods, like I said, if you believe me or not, you know, I never seen an alien, but I did see a Sasquatch. I seen a Bigfoot.
Okay, I believe you. I was chased by something in the woods once, and I know what a bear is like. And I don't think it was a bear.
I'm sure you were.
You know, his name was George, and he was a 54-year-old plumber. And
he was having a good time with you, wasn't he, big boy?
No, it's funny. To this day, my best friend and I tell the story about how we were chased by something in the woods, and we don't know what it was. And in New Jersey, where you guys have... What's the name of the Rhode Island Bigfoot?
Big Rhody.
Okay. In New Jersey, he's Old Red Eye.
Mm.
And, you know, we were chased by this thing in the woods, and we had no idea what it was, and we were freaking out, and, you know, we're a couple of 12-year-old kids running through the woods trying to get away from it. And, you know, 20 years later, we find out that the exact area we were in was the area that Old Red Eye had been spotted in several times.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So
now, what do you think of these creatures coming in and out of different dimensions?
Well, which creatures?
Well, besides ghosts, demons and all that, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Mothman.
See, I'm a firm believer in the Carp and the Scientist theory. And I've talked about this theory in other times on this show and on other shows. And I've actually got to go up and find out the name of the guy who came up with the theory. It's a wonderful theory. It was written by a guy who was actually watching koi in a mm-hmm. pond.
Mm-hmm.
And
koi pond.
And he realized he came up with this whole dimensional theory from watching these koi. And mm-hmm. if you have koi swimming around in a pond and you touch the water, it makes a ripple. You indent into their world. And they, of course, have an interest in it. And they come and they look at it, what you're doing, and they check it out. But if you lift that koi up out of their world and into your world.
Well, that's their dimension.
Right, that's their dimension. If you bring them into your dimension, they can't survive. If you go into their dimension without the proper equipment, you're not going to survive. I think it kind of goes the same way between us. I almost tend to believe that shadow people may be, you know, this whole theory of shadow people, you know, there's so many theories out there about them. If there's dimensional people...
I wouldn't say it's a theory.
Okay.
You've seen them.
Oh,
have
I've
you
seen, them.
Seen...
Oh, yeah. On three... We caught one on film when we were filming Extreme Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
The
I know, I saw it.
The one that we saw freaked me out so much that they had to stop filming and we had to go back and restart later, and that's when you see me explaining it to Sean and Jason.
Yeah.
Because it was standing right behind me, and I thought it was, you know, I turned around and thought it was a cameraman. And
yeah.
I started screaming when I realized that my cameraman was on the other side of me. And they said, and literally the producer said, you can't say it was a cameraman because we're trying to keep the cameraman out of this. Say it was Sean or Nathan, or Sean or Jason. And I was like, but it was right there.
And you know what? You know what you saw. And that's the whole thing. A lot of people don't believe because they didn't see it.
Right.
But I understand where you're coming from because you saw it. It scared the bejibbies out of you.
And I don't scare easy.
And neither do I. You know, I work with a demonologist. I'm not into demons, okay? I am so not into demons. They scare the bejibbies out of me. But I'm learning, you know, just from him and I working together and living together and whatever. But seeing a shadow person is something that's touching you, or it does kind of make you jump out of your skin.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And they definitely are not a friendly presence when they appear.
Yeah, well, because your hair stands up and either you feel sick or nauseated. I know I do. If there's a somewhat of an evil presence in a house, I feel sick right away. I go in blindly sometimes, and just to feel that, it's like, oh my God, I got to go outside or I'm going to be sick. You know, I don't want to throw up on anybody's lawn. You know.
Now, you, all your work and everything you do, people are actually going to get to see you do this work this fall on The Haunted.
Yeah, we were on the first season, and we're going to be in this season too. 10-10-10 at 10.
10-10-10 at 10.
So that's so easy.
October 10th at 10 o'clock. Eastern time.
Exactly.
You know, and the funny thing is, when The Haunted came out, they contacted Sean and I and asked us for any ideas and things like that. And we were under contract at the time, so we could not help them.
Well, of course not. But you can't, when you're under contract, you can't even talk about, I can't talk about the case.
Right, right. It's, you know, when even Extreme Paranormal came out, everybody wanted to talk to us about it, and we were under like contract, so we couldn't talk to people on radio shows or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those shows that both Sean and I, because we'd heard about it in advance, we wanted to check it out, and we loved it. It's a great show. It's an absolutely fabulous show.
I'm going to tell you one thing about that show. Mm-hmm. The Haunted is a legit show. It's not all about cameras and glamour and, hey, we're flying out. No, I'm tired. But when we go there and meet these folks that have a real haunting going on, they are scared. They are so scared. They just want help. You know, and sometimes getting on a TV show is the only way they can get help because we all work for free.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
We don't get paid to go to all these places. You know, I met so many people. Oh, gosh. God bless them. And they just want help. They don't want to be ridiculed or humiliated. You know, who goes and says, hey, I got a ghost in my house? People look at you like you're nuts. You know, and the Rips team, they did a great job, along with, you know, Beyond the Veil.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to help the family, and it's not scripted. So, you know, there's a lot of shows out there that are scripted. It's not scripted.
Oh, no, and, you know, oddly enough, I tell people all the time, usually the shows aren't scripted, but you and I actually had to talk about the difference between the way you guys filmed and the way we had to film. And
yes. Oh, my. I couldn't do what you did. You must have been exhausted.
Yeah, and how we actually had to describe everything we did while we did it.
Yeah.
You know, it's which makes, of course, made it sound totally scripted. But,
well, it was kind of scripted, but not scripted. I understand what you're saying there.
We were.
They should have just let you guys go with the flow.
But it definitely gave Sean and I a chance to see how TV works, and the good sides and the bad sides of it. And
well, yeah, there's good sides and there's bad sides because you're exhausted after it.
Oh yeah, you're working from 6 o'clock at night till 6 a.m.
And yeah, and then you have to get up in the morning, be there for 11, make sure you're pretty, you gotta look good.
We never had to worry about that.
Well, you guys, just comb your hair back. Girls have to do the hair, put a little makeup on. I didn't even put makeup on. I was like, all right, give me my interview. I'm ready to go home now. I want my bed.
See, you guys got to do
I look like crap.
You guys at least got to do some stuff during the day. Everything we did at night.
Oh, I know. I watched your show.
You know, it's like we have to interview like 30 people. We're gonna do it all in a 12-hour shot here. Four of them will show up on the show. It's
Nah, you guys rock. I mean, I really enjoyed your show. Like I said, Carl would be looking at me, and I'm like watching the TV, and my eyes would be, and I'm sitting at the edge of my seat, going, "Oh my God, these guys are freaking crazy." I love it.
Well, yeah, that's what we do, is we're crazy. And the nice thing the nice thing about it is, you know, despite what anybody might say about Extreme Paranormal, I got tons of letters from people afterwards who might not have agreed with the way we ghost hunt and things like that, but we're glad to see people doing something different.
Exactly. And it captured the audience, and it really brought it out there. I mean, come on, you guys were on you had your own show going.
Even if it's a special, you know, I mean, how many people do that? But,
Well, not too many. I couldn't go in a coffin and say, I wanted an EP session.
I wanted to go in the coffin so bad. I really did. And they just wouldn't
Well, you
me.
Were underwater. That scared the
No, Sean was underwater. I don't swim.
Was it Sean?
And the funny thing was, the only thing I'm afraid of is water and trolls. But,
Trolls.
Don't feed
like
the trolls.
Trolls are bad, okay? They're just,
they scare me.
They're evil creatures. They live under bridges. They eat goats. They're not.
What about shark trolls?
Shark trolls would be my worst fear of all time. But you know what? I guarantee you, sci-fi Googles everything that mentions them. And since we've mentioned sci-fi, there's going to be troll Octoshark coming out next in like the next season. So
we'll be trolls writing Octoshark.
Yes. To this day, the only movie that truly scares me is Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. The original Don't Be Afraid of the Dark movie, with the little trolls living in the chimney.
Oh, the boogeyman.
Yes. Trolls are bad, okay? They're
real true story.
You have a real
clowns.
No, there's no such thing as a real troll story. Do not have a real troll story. Because I will never, ever sleep again.
We're going to start a new blog.
All right.
The real troll stories.
This is
troll stories with Laura Moon.
This
has to be tales. True troll tales.
True troll tales.
I can't even say that three times.
I can't even say it once. This is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, and somebody just said they have a true troll story, so now I have to hear it.
Okay. Well, a good friend of mine in Florida, she told me when she was a little girl that she was out on her lawn, and like the weather kind of changed a little bit, like, you know, it got kind of darkish, and she saw this little man looking thing, dwarf-looking troll thing that ran across her yard. Well, her sister was with her, and she saw this thing run, and she thought she was seeing things, but she never said anything about it until she was an adult. And her sister said, "I saw that too."
Was she watching Animal Planet?
They didn't have it back then.
No, you know, those guys that rescue those pit bulls?
Yes. Oh no. Pit Boss. Pit Boss. That's a good show.
They're cute.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, my actual story, you know, and this is one of the reasons, and I'm sure anybody out there who knows this show knows the reason I ghost hunt is not to look for ghosts, but so much to look for the reason why people believe in ghosts.
I try not to debunk it. And...
Yeah, I'm not out there trying to do that. I want to know what led someone to believe in ghosts in the first place and why they believe they have a ghost now. That's my interest. And
well, you know, Nathan, when you see one, you know it's there.
Yeah. But
I mean, you wouldn't be in this field if you didn't think that these things exist. I mean, life after death, we're trying to still find evidence of that. And we are finding it.
My brother had me convinced that trolls lived in our basement. Which is why, to this day, trolls are the only thing that frighten me.
Well, they're watching Pit Boss and...
Trolls and sharks. You know, a troll's never actually attacked me. But, you know, a shark has come up and, like, showed interest in me. That was my own fault for fishing and shark
invasive waters.
Well,
it's because you look really good in that...
Thong,
you know.
Well, God.
Back in my 20s, I did.
Fuzzy slippers.
Yes, but you know, you can.
Love the girls. They keep giggling. I love it.
You can drop me in the middle of the woods, and I'm fine. I don't mind. Animals in the woods don't scare me. I've slept out in the wilderness without anything but you know, a Bowie knife and 3 matches to get by.
What? I understand that. That's how I am, too. Put me in the woods, I'm great. Put me near the ocean, I'm throwing up.
Well,
I don't want no part of it.
I even love the look of the ocean. I just can't be in it. It freaks me out to no end.
Well, and we take a picture of it, Nathan.
Yes, it's very pretty in pictures. But but because I was so frightened by these troll images that my brother put into my head, you know, I often wonder if some people aren't thinking they're haunted because they're afraid of the idea of being haunted.
Yeah.
You know, so I go out and that's one of the things I look for. And on the other hand, we're living in a time and age where it has now become chic to have a ghost.
True.
You know, we live in an age where people, you know, you'll find out that you can go and investigate someone's home, find out they actually have a ghost in their house, and go to talk to them about what they can do about it. And they're like, no, I don't want to get rid of it.
No, they're going to sell their house for an extra $250,000.
Yeah, you know.
Because they have a ghost.
They want you to sign a paper that confirms it's haunted so they can sell it for more money. Or they want to be able to throw a party and make the... It's like Beetlejuice. They want the ghost to show up on command. You know, it's...
that doesn't happen.
No, but this is what they're looking for, and it's a scary time. I was asked recently if I thought that, you know, we lived in an age where the veils were breaking down between the two worlds. I was on.
I believe it is.
Well, I told them I don't believe the veil is breaking down. I think that we're opening more doors.
Well, opening more doors and the veils breaking down can actually coincide with each other. You know what I mean? We're sitting there going, come on out. Where are you? And, you know, we're talking to these spirits. And that can break down.
That veil belongs there. You know?
I know it does, Nathan. But this is what's happening now. You know? And it's so hard for everybody to put a grip on that. And come to terms that, hey, you know, there's millions of freaking ghost hunters out there.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? But the veils between our world that we live in with our own conscience and then the world that we don't know.
You know, I don't know what year you actually started ghost hunting, Dina. When did you start ghost hunting?
I was 4.
You were 4. Then
that, well, I had something bad happen to me when I was a child, and that's when all my senses came about. I don't want to get too gruesome, but that's when I started seeing things and having comforting spirits wrap their arms around me. But well, ever since then,
it's, go ahead, Nathan. It's interesting because I say, because you then remember that 20 years ago, you didn't have people announcing that they were ghost hunters.
Oh, no, that you're a freak.
Right. You know, it was like you didn't tell people at parties. You didn't go places and say, I'm a ghost hunter. You didn't, you know, it was something you did privately. And usually your group met in secret because you didn't want to be known as the freak.
Well, yeah, and, they still think I'm a freak.
But, you know, now if you're at a party and you tell people you're a ghost hunter, everybody has a ghost story and everybody wants to be involved and everybody wants to go with you on a ghost hunt.
Oh, my God,
great.
They want to go to my graveyards. They want to go everywhere.
And, you know,
I'm like, I can't do it.
And that just didn't happen 20 years ago because, you know, it didn't exist. And what you were saying about now with we're all opening doors and stuff, when I was asked if the veil was breaking down, I said, you know, the veil, I don't believe the veil is breaking down as much from that side as much as we're just opening it up.
Well, exactly. There's so many teens out there, like I said, that are opening up doors, different doors, whether it be demonic or anything else. We're inviting these spirits in, and we're inviting other people in.
I get invited to schools now to talk about ghost hunting.
Yeah, isn't it sick?
And which I would love to do if I didn't have that 50-foot radius law against me. So it's... That's a joke, folks. Here, it's not Sean, but it's not Sean, but I'm gonna hit it for the.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not.
Beep 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 beep.
It's not Sean, it's me. But I figured I'd throw it in there for the joke. It's. but.
That was great. Put a visual up for me, please.
But, you know, people can check you out at Beyond the Veil Paranormal Research, and that's I'm going to spell it all out so that people who are listening online can find it. It's BeyondTheVeilParanormal.com. Beyond the Veil Paranormal.
Breathe now.
.com. And people can check out The Haunted on Animal Planet coming up October 10th.
Yeah, The Haunted, that's going to be a really great episode. All of the episodes are really great. I'm in contact with most of the people that have actually been on this show, and a lot of them, they're in tears. They just couldn't believe, you know, what the family was going through, and grown men. I've seen grown men, you know, come to tears. This is not just a show. It's reality. This is what's going on right now. And there's a lot of great teens out there, and I love working with teens. I love working with other teens, and I so can't wait to work with more. I love it.
You know, it's funny, though, too. I like getting teens involved with understanding the paranormal. I'm not the hugest fan of letting them be involved in ghost hunts.
Because
I personally have saw so many things at an early age that to expose somebody to something early, not because it's dangerous for them or whatever, that might be the reasons, but for some people, but for me, it's just I was exposed to so much so early. I don't want to expose anyone to anything.
No, I can understand what you're going there.
That's my own personal feeling on it.
Well, that's why I'm going to keep my own mental telepathy to myself.
But you know, coming up in October, 10-10-10 at 10, folks.
At 10.
Check it out on Animal Planet. And
yes.
You know, it's you've got more investigations coming up looking for Big, I want to call him Rudy.
It's Big Rody. Come on now.
I'm sorry, it's I gotta start taking notes. That's my
You've been drinking.
It's the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Of course I've been drinking.
I was going to ask what was in the cigar.
Well, my cigar is just a cigar, but I am drinking a couple beers. So.
I've got one sip of my bourbon and soda left. It's,
Well, go.
There, it's gone, and it's 11 o'clock. It's, but, it's, you've got that coming up. You've got, Beyond the Veil Paranormal. You've got Big Roadie. I should remember that, you know, because I...
Oh, and also, we're going to be... listen to this, Travel Channel.
Ooh, Travel Channel.
Yeah, most scariest places in America, right? Is that what it's called, Carl?
Most terrifying places in
America.
Most
terrifying places in America.
So
that
you...
is going to be on what date, Carl?
Next Saturday, September 25th.
Can you hear that, girls and
next
boys?
Next Saturday, September 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Next Saturday, September 25th.
Yeah, my two nephews are going to be on there doing some... Oh, it's going to be so fun. You got to watch it.
You know, it's the silly season. There's going to be so much fun stuff coming on TV.
Everybody has a freaking ghost right now, Nathan. Everybody has a freaking ghost. My phone don't stop ringing. It's like, I got to get... You gotta come to Georgia. You gotta come to Florida.
I'm well,
like,
you know, I'm still wondering why I can't.
Hold on, my Learjet is broke down
exactly.
right now.
Exactly.
I'm trying to figure. Well, you know, the funny thing is.
Good girl. She's laughing. Thank you.
Did anybody else remember this? Back about 15. Back about 15 years ago, you'd join a group, and that group mm-hmm. usually had one lead member. And for mm-hmm. some reason, that lead member usually had some kind of cash. Not particularly.
Well, I'm a lead member, but I don't have any cash.
I'm not talking now. I'm talking back before. I'm talking back before it became super popular, when usually you'd get involved with these paranormal groups, and one or two of them would have a leader somewhere, or someone mm-hmm. involved, and they would be the ones that traveled all over the country, and they'd take mm-hmm. maybe one or two people with them.
Right.
When they'd go to do the investigations. And if you were lucky, you'd be one of those one or two people. Because I was never the guy with the cash, believe me. And,
yeah, me either. I hear you.
And so people seem to have this memory of this. And it's almost like what you'd see in those movies of, like, you know, they'd bring in the Exorcist, or they'd bring in the...
Or like in Poltergeist. Yeah, they show up. They're dressed professionally, and it's a professional team. And
They're there from some college or whatever, you know. Right. It's You know, besides the Rhine Institute, there's not a whole lot of colleges out there, right, or places out there right now. They really delve into the paranormal. And there's really...
Paranormal college.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if I've seen that.
Not
that are accredited.
The Rhine Institute is not an accredited college. It's what
it used to be part of Duke.
It used to be part of Duke, and Dr. Rhine was the psychologist who head up their parapsychology department, and they broke away for whatever reason, and now they have the Rhine Institute, which still studies the paranormal. But they study mostly psychics.
Well, because parapsychology is no longer seen as a true science.
Right.
And when I was going to college, when I first started, it was still one of those degrees you could acquire. I was in psychology, and that was one of the fields that was available. But, you know, it went away.
Well, even Princeton has done away, I believe, with their parapsychology department.
Well, I think they should bring it back... for a course, you know. I mean, there's so much out there, and there's a lot of brilliant people.
Yeah.
That could actually.
There's a lot of people that want to take it seriously, and it would be nice to have someplace serious to go.
Exactly.
All these online, you pay me money, I'll send you a certificate programs.
Oh, geez. I heard that one. I heard that one before. Oh, my God, I would laugh.
Wait, how did you find out about all my certificates?
Well, I am able to see. They're all on your wall.
Able to see university.
Actually, no, they're all in a probably flip folder in my basement.
I see.
But, you know, The funny thing was, I actually remember when you'd go to a paranormal conference, they'd have classes at the paranormal conferences. And if you attended the classes, you could take, you know, you'd attend the classes. At the end, you could take like an exam of the classes. And if you got a certain score, they would give you a certificate saying you had studied, you had learned everything they had taught you at the conference. And but now you go to a conference and, you know, they basically hand you a certificate for having paid $300 to show up.
And well, the whole thing with this field, Nathan, is, you know as well as I do, as well as Carl does, and everybody else in the paranormal field, you can't learn everything about this field.
No.
We don't know. It's the unknown.
Well,
this is the unknown. This is why we tap into it. This is what we're trying to figure out.
You know, it's funny. I remember years ago going to a conference with John Zaffis, and somebody asked me what my field was. And I had said, well, I study the occult. And people came up to me afterwards and said, you can't tell people you study the occult.
Why not? Carl did.
And I was like, well, why not? Yeah, I was like, this is, honestly, somebody has to study it.
Well, you know, because it's there.
There's an aspect of it that you have to know if you're going to go into these places. Somebody has to know it. And
exactly. The occult is something I don't know about, but exactly, I understand what you're saying about the occult. Carl had to study it. You got to study it.
You know, I'm not a demonologist. I'm not.
Neither am I.
People call me a demonologist all the time. I'm not a demonologist. I'm an occultist.
You're the demon hunter.
I'm the demon hunter. And the reason I got the demon hunter title was because, you know, somebody told me never call yourself a demonologist or a demon hunter. And that became a joke. And what happens? Everybody starts calling me the demon hunter. But
I like it.
Yeah, you know, but so I'm an occultist. But still, I show up every interview I do. Starts off with somebody saying, we have Nathan Schoonover on the line, and he's a demonologist. And I'm like, stop calling me a demonologist, please.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had to study demonology. But, you know, there are people who study who are demonologists who have had to study the occult, but that doesn't make them an occultist.
Exactly.
You know, where I studied the occult, so I had to study demonology, but that doesn't make me a demonologist. So you can't know everything, and it almost came to the point where, you know, I think it became a point where people became specialists because people were calling themselves paranormal experts. And we all know there's no experts in this field. We don't know what
there
the hell's going
no
on.
There is no experts in this field. Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know that.
I
everybody
know it. You
I
know
think
it.
Out there, I would hope, knows that there is no expert.
Well, think about it. You know, there's no way you can ever know everything because it's constantly changing. If you're actually out there doing research, I know when I've been doing this for, as long as I've been doing it, I change my mind about things several times a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something different will happen. I'll learn something new. It's like I look at something totally different and I've changed my mind again.
There are things that I thought were certain 20 years ago that I don't believe anymore. There were things I swore by 5 years ago that now I question. There are things a year ago that I said that now I'd have to take back because things are always changing.
Nature of the field.
Yep, things are always changing. And I'm the first one to say if I say something and then it turns out that, you know, it's proven wrong, then I was wrong. But, you know, to not go out.
You know what? Nobody's right in this field, though. It's not that you're wrong.
No,
nobody's right.
Somebody's right. We just don't know who they are yet.
Well, we haven't met them yet. That's what it is.
But,
you know, it's a learning experience. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. We see things, we feel things, we hear things, we get EVPs, and we just don't know.
No.
It's the great unknown, and that's what keeps it going. And you know, you can't pressure yourself saying, hey, I found the Holy Grail. You know, nobody's going to find the Holy Grail.
Never.
Unless you see it for yourself.
Never. Now, ladies, I got to wrap up. I got to end for the night. But
Give us a call back, then, Ethan. We're going to be up for a while.
Everybody hang on the line for just a minute while I wrap up so I don't have hang-ups in the middle of the end here, but also because I want to throw out some more information there. Dina?
Nice to meet you, girls.
Nice meeting you, too.
Dina, it's from Beyond the Veil Paranormal. Catch her 10 at 10 on The Haunted on Animal Planet. Becky Ray and Laura Moon, or Laura Moon and Becky Ray, however you want to say it, from Darkest Side of the Moon Radio. You can catch it. What night is your show now, girls?
Presently on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Wednesday. Is that what time my my recording says? Because I thought mine said Monday.
It does. The one you're playing says Monday. We've changed, and we haven't updated our promo yet. This Wednesday, we're recording a new promo, so next week you will have a new promo.
Yay! So Wednesday,
well, I'm going to go on Nathan's page, and I'm going to friend request you girls.
Right on.
Yes,
right.
Definitely. Becky Ray and Laura Moon from Darkest Side of the Moon Radio. That's right. Every week they ride horses.
Are they riding bulls now?
Yes. They, I won't tell you who they tied up last because my girlfriend would leave me. But,
I think it was you, Nathan.
She's not supposed to talk about that.
But I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, and be sure and check us out next week and log into our forums at www.ghostanddemon.com because we want to hear from you. And next week would be, you know, I don't even know what next week is. I think it's the 26th of September. September 26th. It's fall, people. How did this happen?
Crazy.
It's fall.
Winter's coming.
In the words of the great Sean Burris, who we love and cherish and isn't here with us tonight, but we love him anyway.
We do.
Don't go changing, people. You know we won't. We love you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in, a slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say, to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens.